Chapter 7. Christian and Big Tiger Become Secret Couriers. The general was standing in the yard, talking to Good Fortune. Christian and Big Tiger were sitting on the edge of the wash tub under the projecting roof, eating poppy cakes and sweets.
"Do they taste good?" a rough voice asked suddenly, and when they looked round, a man was standing behind the tub.
He was wearing a round embroidered cap of a kind that even Big Tiger had never seen before.
"What are you two doing here?" asked the man,
trying to look friendly. His dark eyes flitted restlessly from Christian to Big Tiger. He looked at Good Fortune and at the general, and finally he seemed to be only looking into space. He had a black mustache and beard, which hung over the corners of his mouth and made him look rather sinister, and he was wearing a beautiful black silk coat. Again he asked,
"What are you two doing here?"
"We're eating sweets," said Christian.
"Don't be stupid," growled the man, and spat into the tub.
"Now the tub is no longer clean," said Big Tiger.
"Impudent brat," retorted the man, looking angry.
Then he pulled himself together and made another effort to look friendly. Furtively pointing in the direction of Wu Pei Fu, he asked,
"Is that the general?"
"Perhaps it is," said Christian. "We're only here since yesterday," said Big Tiger.
"Yes, yes," growled the man. "Is there a truck here?"
"Yes, over there," said Christian.
"Yes, yes," muttered the man, slipping away silently as he had come.
He turned round once, and Christian thought he detected him exchanging a wink with Good Fortune. But just at that moment, Big Tiger whispered, "Here comes the general." Christian hurriedly swallowed his sweet as the general came up to them. "Hello," said the general.
"Hello," replied Christian, but scarcely had he said it than he flushed, deeply embarrassed.
"Please excuse me. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean to." Wu Pei Fu laughed. "It was just what I wanted to hear. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said hello myself. We Chinese don't say hello."
"We don't either, except sometimes, and generally only boys," Christian assured him.
"And what about you?" the general asked Big Tiger with a laugh. "Can you say hello?" Big Tiger bowed. The boy with the unworthy name Big Tiger learned it from Compass Mountain. "Hello is a very useful word," said Wu Pei Fu. "When a fellow is downhearted, he should say hello, often, to cheer himself up. Now come with me. I have something to tell you." He walked along under the projecting roof and entered a room with white walls, but with no Kong in it. Instead, there was a big table in the center, covered completely by a huge map. There were little red and blue flags stuck in the map, and one could see that the blue flags represented Wu's soldiers and the red flags the enemy. Over Peking there was a big red flag representing General Cheng Tso-ling, who had his headquarters there, while General Wu's blue flag waved over Hui Lei-hsien. "Take a pencil," said Wu Pei Fu in a quiet tone of command, "and write down where you live, and when I get to Peking I shall tell your parents that you are safe and sound and where I have sent you. Can you write?"
"Yes, we can," said Big Tiger, and he painted the beautiful sign for Peking on the white paper, and under it the name of the street.
"I can't write quite so well," said Christian. "That doesn't matter," said the general. "Give it to me." He took the piece of paper and read it. "So you live near the old observatory, Big Tiger. I shall find your house. And I see, Compass Mountain, that your father is a doctor. Did he once live in Luoyang?"
"Yes," said Christian.
"Then we're old acquaintances. Your father was the best doctor in the province of Honan. I shall be very glad to meet him again."
"It will be a lucky day of the first order for my father," said Christian.
"I hope he will not be annoyed when I tell him that his son is on his way to the province of Xinjiang. Do you know where that is?"
"I know," said Big Tiger. "You cross the Gobi Desert, and you're there."
"That's right," said Wu Pei Fu. "You've noticed that Good Fortune is cleaning a truck? Well, that will be the first automobile to cross the Gobi Desert. Tomorrow morning you leave here, for I cannot send you home by the ordinary route. The war is warming up. General Cheng Tso-ling's soldiers have entrenched themselves in the western mountains and are going to defend Peking. That is why you have to make this roundabout journey. Do you want to make it?"
"Yes, we do," cried Christian and Big Tiger.
"But it's a very long roundabout way," continued Wu Pei Fu seriously, "and I'm giving you a task which will not be easy. Here is a sealed letter, which you must not show to anyone. I trust you to keep it secret." He drew from his pocket a letter written on thin rice paper.
On the envelope were two vertical red lines, and between them written in black India ink, "To His Excellency Yang Zheng Xin, Marshal of China, Governor of the Province of Xinjiang, Tiwa Fu." A note tells us that Tiwa Fu is the Chinese name for Urumqi. Bowing low, Big Tiger took the letter in both hands, saying, "No one but His Excellency Yang shall read this letter. Compass Mountain has a secret pocket in his jacket, and he'll keep it there. This is up to you. You are my secret couriers. Do as you think fit." "We'll keep it absolutely secret," said Christian. "Here is money for the journey," said Wu Pei Fu. "Probably you won't need it, as my old friend Yang will look after your needs. It is just for an emergency." And he gave 25 big silver pieces to Christian, and the same to Big Tiger. "Many thanks. We will only use the money in case of necessity." "Oh, I don't mean that. The money is yours as a reward for brave conduct. Good fortune is to know nothing about it." He knows nothing about the letter, either. His only orders are to take you to Tiwa Fu. He may be a bit unfriendly at first, because he would have preferred to come to Peking with me, but do not mind that. He's the only man who knows the way, and I have nobody else to send. He's a native of Suzhou and has been in Xinjiang several times. "Is he a Tungan?" asked Big Tiger. A note says a Tungan is a Muslim Chinese. "No, he's not. You needn't be frightened. He's as Chinese as you and I. He's a good-natured fellow, but I do not trust him absolutely, for he loves money more than a soldier should. That's why I'm glad to have you. Tomorrow you will drive to Kalgan, and then straight through the steppe and the desert to the Etsin Gul, which is a river. There is a place there called Olon Tore, where my ally, General Feng, has a gasoline depot. Good fortune will be able to refill the empty drums there. As soon as you arrive at Tiwa Fu, go straight to the governor's yamen." A note says that a yamen is a Chinese official building. "Give him my letter, and, well, that's all. Is everything quite clear to you?" "Yes, we understand," said Christian. "And we shall obey," said Big Tiger. "And please ask my elder brother Yang to think kindly of me." "We shall say it all." "Well, goodbye now," said Wu Pei Fu, standing up. "You will find a briefcase in your room containing all you need for the journey. If all goes well, you should be in Tiwa Fu in 10 days. Big Tiger and Christian bowed, saying, "We wish you many lucky stars." "Be silent, my children," said the general, "and leave talking to others." "Who are the others?" asked Christian. "All whom you meet," said Wu Pei Fu, and he bowed farewell to Christian and Big Tiger as if they were grown-up men. This made them feel very proud.